Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael. I think it's still afternoon, though, isn't it, even though it's dark?
Whatever you would like to call it is great with me.
All right. Well, I think it's still afternoon. So okay. we'll go with that just for tonight.
Great. Wonderful. Wonderful. And I have announcements here to kick us off.
Great.
If you're ready for a new beginning in 2024, plan to join Sangha for our virtual New Year's retreat, December 30th through January 1st. The retreat will include meditation, workshops, workshops, yoga, and guidance with you, Sherry. Registration will open soon, so save the dates.
Sounds good. Yeah. Let's do that.
Yes, let's do that. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Our Reflective Listening Buddies program offers awareness practitioners unique support. It requires participants to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter of this popular program begins January 15th. And do you find that your efforts... Sorry, say that again, Sherry.
Sounds good.
Yes, sounds good. Many good things here. Do you find that your efforts to keep a commitment are sabotaged by conditioning? The Keeping Commitments Buddy Program, also beginning January 15th, pairs participants with a buddy for accountability and support during this compassionate training. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And Sherry, I would like to invite folks to get in the queue also tonight.
All right. Good to hear from as many people as possible.
Yes, as many people as possible. And so if you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry tonight, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show and conversation on one topic, please. And about 5 minutes is fabulous. All right, let's get this going here, Sherry.
All right.
First call. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Laura calling from Montreal.
Oh, hello, Laura.
Hi, I am so happy to be here. I'm just happy. So I am having such a good time with this week's assignment. When I read it, my heart started to sing, and I went, oh, goody, I get to make cards and decorate them and play. And so I've been having a fun and interesting time with that whole process.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things I noticed was, well, what I decided to do was just sit down with the mentor, and whatever dropped in, I would write on the card. So I did that, and I just, put them in the deck and then shuffled and have been recording every day. And I think, it doesn't matter when it was, but I picked this one card, and it was like, I wonder why that's there. I don't have any issues with that. And so as I explored it with the mentor and went a little deeper into it, I saw that even though it was generosity, right, was the name, and as I explored it, I saw that yes, I had suffered with that, and so every card I pick up has what comes up is what conditioning tells me and what I have been assuming and then, of course, the mentor gives her take on it, which is always quite brilliant and enlightening. So I'm really enjoying this a lot this week.
So what happened, if I follow that, is the mentor helped with the cards, maybe came up, added some things to cards that you wouldn't have added if you were on your own?
Right. because I just sat down and said, okay, I've got all these cards and I'm just going to put down whatever drops in with no questions, no filtering, no anything. And so some really interesting things got put there. Yeah. Which is very cool.
Approach. I hope other people are listening to that. Because, of course, what we're conditioned to do is, okay, I have an assignment, and so let me get my things together here and think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Really, I need to really look at this. And I need to, and I mean, can you see my forehead scrunching up and as I get very thoughty about the whole thing? And so instead, what you did is just, okay, I'll just sit here. And then I'll write down whatever occurs, whatever drops in.
Yeah.
Way better way to get information, huh? Unfiltered, uncensored.
Unfiltered, and no clenching of the markers. It was relaxing,
yeah.
Too. And being surprised, you know, being surprised when something came up,
yeah,
that I didn't even remember writing down. So that was very cool as well.
Yeah. And then of course, that's not an issue for me. So
right. And though I would not.
Mm-hmm. Wonder how that got on there. Hmm. Well, and then as you're turning attention to it, a little opening is created and here comes some more information.
Yeah. It's been really great. I had I know we want to get as many people as possible, and I don't want to talk really fast, but I had an experience yesterday.
Don't do either. Don't talk really fast, and don't be in a hurry.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because urgency was another one of my cards. And what came with that one was, well, what if I didn't take that personally? What if it was just like the wind blowing in my face when I was out for a walk?
Uh-huh.
So I've got a lot on my plate these days, and that's been so helpful. So incredibly helpful.
Now, okay, again, let me see if I'm with you. So so there's the wind blowing in my face, and if I make that mean something, then I have a situation, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so I could just have a lot of energy, and there could also be a lot of things going on, but if I don't turn that into a story of how quickly I need to get through things, then I don't have urgency, and then I don't have a difficulty.
Right.
Ooh, I just have a lot of energy and a lot of things to do, which could be a definition of a really exciting life.
Absolutely. I had one experience yesterday, Sherry, that was not in the cards, but it brought up so much karma for me. And it had to do with, I was the gatekeeper at an international Zoom women's Zoom meeting, and in the past there have been bombers coming in, even though as many protocols as we have been able to figure out have been put in place. And yesterday there was a bomber who, like a man who came in who was being really inappropriate, and I just noticed my reaction and saw how immobilized I became, how my whole body started to shake, and how when I couldn't get him out right away, it was like my whole karmic pattern of very, very quickly, like all the beliefs, the assumptions, of inappropriate sexual aggression, right? Like how I felt responsible for the other women in the meeting, how I immediately went to, oh, that poor man, I should have compassion for, you know, I mean, just, and it was like a slideshow that was zipping by so fast. It was amazing.
Wind in your face with a lot of content.
Absolutely, yeah. It was. Yeah, and so I was like having nightmares in the night, and it was pretty intense. And I mean, once again, the mentor helped me to see that this was you know, old triggered old trauma and stuff like that. And
really, once we get to a place of enough distance from it, maybe, that we can see that, well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing for this to come up into conscious awareness.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because it is there. It is there. All the fear, the anxiety, the upset, the beliefs and assumptions, it's all there. And usually, of course, we work very hard to keep our circumstances such that we don't have to deal with something like that.
Right.
And yet, in spite of every effort, there he was. Yep. And you got to see so much about what is being held there in, I don't know if we want to call it unconsciousness or however we want to label that stuff that gets put behind something so that we don't have to be aware of it on a regular basis.
Right. And yeah, just like, so it was interesting because just before this call, I was on another Zoom, a different, you know, different Zoom. And I noticed I was getting really nervous, like my bodily sensations as I got on the Zoom, it was like, oh, is this safe? Right. And so I don't know what else to say about it.
Laura, where do you go with that? Is it safe? What does that mean?
Oh, that's such a good question. Well, yesterday after that experience, I went through my small home here and kind of cleared it of the energy. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. And then reassured these very young parts of me who had been, you know, traumatized in this area at a young age that, you know, I was here, they're okay, I'm with them, whatever, you know, whatever they need, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so safety was like, okay, nobody's going to come and beat down my door, and I mean, I don't know, maybe they will, but it was a very, very young fear, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I was really curious because it's true. I mean, if you go out in the street, you know, we could say the danger factors go up dramatically, right? Because there are other real, actual people out there. On a Zoom call, it can be upsetting, it can be shocking, but it's not unsafe.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And so I was hoping that be part of the conversation with these parts who are afraid. They are afraid, but they're afraid because they're afraid. They're not afraid because they're actually in any real danger.
Oh, right. It's a habit. It's
yeah,
a long-standing habit to
be
afraid in certain situations.
Yeah, and to be reassured, as you did, that you're there. I mean, anything might happen, even on one of these Zooms, and it could be shocking. The adrenaline could rush, the, you know, all of that, but that you're there. You're there between anybody, any of that young fear, and now. And so... Mm-hmm. For those aspects of the personality to begin to be interested in what happens rather than dreading it or trying to hope it doesn't happen, avoiding it, that sort of thing.
Right. Or not going and, yeah. Like just stop doing Zoom calls or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Like making life small. Basically.
Exactly. Because, I mean, you're not going to go out and walk down dark alleys at night in... you know, that's not the kind of experimentation we're interested in doing. But this kind of thing could be a really interesting workshop in, well, let's see what happens. What if somebody does sneak through the barricade and comes in? But the adrenaline that rushes, what are the thoughts? What do I believe it means? What is that fear actually
of? What, you know, what do we think will happen?
Yeah.
I'll feel something I don't want to feel. And so often that's what it comes down to. I'll feel something that's uncomfortable, that frightens me, that I don't want.
Uh-huh.
It can be a wonderful workshop.
Yes. Yes. And I saw just like a glimpse of all of that going by very quickly as I was dealing with this situation. And then afterwards, when I was recording about it, you know, it got a little bit more full, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because I picture that, you know, this little team. So here you are in this women's gathering. I mean, so you've got your own little women's gathering at home with your computer, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody at the women's gathering is essentially dealing with the same kinds of issues, right? They're just issues that all women deal with. And so what a perfect time and place for your little team to be having their own workshop within whatever the larger workshop is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that we hope some guy crashes the party and then behaves inappropriately, but if somebody does, well, we don't need to think that that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yes, because the practice reminder that came in shortly after that incident was, there is nothing wrong.
Right. Yeah. Yes, it's kind of one of those,
Yes. So, lest we think we're alone, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And unsupported? Oh, I don't think so. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Laura.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And Sherry, that was fascinating to explore the different layers and the levels there and what safety actually means.
Yeah, and the possibility that we have as the primary going around inhabitors of a physical form, the opportunity and the responsibility that we have to do the to bring the clarity that can offer the healing and the expansiveness that's possible for us. Because if I am in a situation and I collapse into being a small, frightened child, well, where does that leave all the rest of the folks who share this physical form, right?
Mm.
They're in big trouble because they're really the only one who can step up and support everybody.
Yes, it's fascinating. Yeah, and as you were talking too, you know, if there are other people around us too, then I've lost the connection with those other people as well.
Yes, because excellent point. If I lose the connection with me, I've lost the connection in every direction.
Yeah. Great to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is.
And Sherry, we're going to break for a good news update, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. And Jen, I'm turning it over to you for a good news update. And Jen, I can't hear you, so I'm not sure if you're muted or there's another challenge.
Well, I'll tell you, Michael, there's a very easy explanation for that, which is that I was double muted.
Okay. So. Very good.
I will do my fabulous intro once again. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jen, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the call with Teresa this last Saturday. Thanks for being with us, Jen.
Hi, Jen. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So as you well know, and hopefully folks are getting the emails in their inbox, I think the second one just went out a few minutes ago, saying that the second of the three calls with Teresa is happening this coming Saturday. We had the first call this last Saturday, and it's really an opportunity for people to get to hear directly from Teresa in her own words and her own voice about the project, different aspects of the project, and also an opportunity to put themselves in the queue and to speak with Teresa. So thank you for being with us today to talk about your experience of being on that first call.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for, you know, organizing all of that, and huge thanks to Teresa and everyone that makes that possible. I mean, it was so, I just smiled so hard the entire call. It was just such a lit up experience to hear Teresa just talk about everything. And, you know, there's this, I mean, I love the Africa Project, and, you know, to read the emails that come out and read the updates and see the pictures is kind of one level of like how fabulous it all is. But then suddenly to hear it, you know, to hear Teresa's voice and her talking about, you know, going to get those groceries in the truck and, you know, just all of the different levels of it, it just made it that much more like alive and amazing and present moment right there. It was just so, so wonderful. Yeah.
And it's so funny, Jen, right? Because, I mean, it's not like people don't take our word, right? When we talk about it endlessly on Good News or in different places, but somehow it's still completely different to hear directly from her, isn't it?
It really is, yeah, that she's right there. And, I mean, when it started raining, right, you know, it's like there she is
exactly.
And there's the rain. And, you know, it's just so... It was so extraordinary. It's just that whole other level of like the life and the vibrancy that, yeah, just makes it even that much more extraordinary to hear it directly from Teresa. Yeah, it was so beautiful.
It's so funny. I'm glad you had that moment too, because I really did. So there we are. We're, I don't know, 3/4 of the way through the call, and I suddenly became aware of a static noise behind Teresa that hadn't been there. And I knew, because I've spent so much time there, I knew exactly what it was. And I said, Teresa, it started to rain, hasn't it? She said, yes, it started to really rain hard. And it's that place where we've talked about that how many times in blogs, right? You can barely hear yourself think when it's raining so hard. But there it was, right there on the call. It starts raining and everyone can hear it. So, yeah, really, really fun. And it's so lovely to hear that people did have that experience of, as you say, getting to hear what is that process of grocery shopping, getting here to hear in her own words how all of that goes.
Yeah, exactly. It was so just, you know, being right there. And so, yeah, there is just something, you know, something so powerful about hearing, you know, from Teresa in that way. And of course, I was so, you know, I mean, Sherry will often talk about this, and you do, and everyone who talks about the project, just those reminders, like hearing the excitement for, right, I think it's Rice and Egg Day, right? You know, and that, you know, we sing a song, we get, and it's just such a good reminder that here I am, you know, whining about something that ego has me freaking out about or whatever, you know, in my, as we're often reminded, you know, my life of going, I can go and get any food that I want, you know, and then just to hear that joy of, you know, rice and eggs, we're going to sing a song for this, and it's just such a reminder of, you know, what I think this practice just reminds us so beautifully all the time. And then there's Teresa modeling that so beautifully, like we're alive. We get to eat rice and eggs today. We're going to sing a song. Yeah. It was like, right, it was so powerful, you know? Yeah.
Oh, I do know, Jen. And it's such a beautiful description of it. It really, it does take you right there. And it reminds me of what a gift it is to feel that gratitude, to be present to the gifts that we have in our life, and how a level of privilege is often not a privilege in that sense, that we go to sleep to the extraordinary nature of our moment-by-moment life. And I think, as you were saying, Sherry often talks about this project is really an amazing opportunity for our Sangha to be partnered with a community halfway around the world and to have that our own experience of that transformation inside of ourselves as we participate in this way.
Exactly. It's that whole, like, you know, somebody could maybe hear about this project and project it's, you know, we're giving, but it's that whole, like, giving and receiving, like, who's giving, who's receiving? Mm-hmm. We are all receiving. I feel like I just receive so much from getting to, you know, be, just know what's happening and be connected to the project in whatever ways and hear about it through Sangha. It's so fun to, you know, kind of turn all that up on its head from how ego would frame things and just be so grateful to see that. I mean, I was struck over and over by the singing, right? Then we sing when we're grinding the peanuts in this giant mortar and pestle and, you know, just that reminder, like we could sing through all these things that ego would groan about, you know, it's just so good.
And, you know, as you're saying all that, Jen, it moves me to ask you about, I know when you were talking about that giving and receiving experience, I know that you've been moved to do a number of things over the years, one of them quite recently in support of the project in Africa around offering yoga. Maybe you could say a little bit about, and the reason I thought of it is that you were talking about how much you receive from doing something that ostensibly was this, quote, offering that you were doing to raise money for Cantaloupe. I wonder if you could say a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. It was totally a place of like, I had so much fun and so much. And yeah, I got to, so I teach my yoga classes online over Zoom. So it had dropped in that it was Bridgewalk season, actually before the email started.
Yeah, before you even knew.
I even knew about this, but it just, you know, I just get that feeling like, oh, it's, you know, fall, it's Bridgewalk time, right? Even though we're not walking across the bridge, it was like, it's in the air. And so I just was looking at, you know, what would be something fun to do with my online students. And it was around Halloween time. And, you know, Zoom is such a, I mean, we just heard about some of the negatives of Zoom, but it can be so fun to do some visual things there, right? So I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe it would be fun for people to participate just to, like, I wanted to make it really inclusive, but well, and I want to say like it all just dropped in from life. Like I didn't do anything. It was just like, oh, Bridgewalk, what would be fun? What would be fun for yoga students? You know, and it was all just right there, which made it so fun. But so the invitation was just wear anything, even vaguely Halloween-ish, like wear something, you know, orange sock. Like I didn't want to make it, you know, kind of off-putting, if any, or you can go full costume, like whatever you want to do, but we'll all show up on Halloween and we'll just wave to each other on the Zoom screen and we'll have fun. And anybody who, you know, wears something vaguely Halloween-ish, we called it a participation party. And we made a my yoga studio was able to make a donation to the Africa Project. And we had 20 people, which, you know, I have just a small little yoga business. And people came. I mean, there was a woman who had made an Elmo costume for her daughter. Her daughter is now a grown woman. So this was, you know, when her daughter was little, she made the Elmo costume. She put the head of Elmo on her head and showed up for yoga. And I thought, people were so
participation.
This is participation. And it was just, I project really fun. And a bunch of people reached out with, and they were like, you know what? There is so much bad news and so much whatever. And I just had so much fun showing up and being like ridiculous, wearing an Elmo costume or whatever on this Zoom. Yeah. And I project it was because of exactly that. Like we all knew like, hey, if I show up and do this silly thing, there's going to be this good thing that we give to this great project. So we totally received a beautiful, really fun time. And by the way, got to offer something to the project. Yeah.
Because isn't it such a gift to be offered the opportunity to get beyond ourselves? It's so, it is so, all kinds of adjectives, boring, torturous, ugly to live inside that little illusory me. And so something like that, you know, something like this project, and then you're moved by the project, it all drops in, you want to do something to offer it. So you offer to all of your yoga students, hey, here's this way, essentially, to go beyond yourself, to participate in something larger, to plug into life and love. And people love it. You know, they get completely into it.
Exactly. We had so much fun. It was just and it was totally that. I mean, you know, getting out of, you know, I'm kind of in a place in my practice where I feel like I'm up against a lot of, you know, a lot of intense things. And it was just such a place to like, to drop all of that in that day and in that moment and just have a blast. And we danced to the Monster Mash we just had so much fun. And yeah, it was exactly that, just getting outside of ourselves, which I think is what the project offers, like a chance to participate in something good and something beautiful and something that gets us out of ego. And I am so grateful for that, you know? Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned a minute ago, you know, looking at all the updates and that sort of thing. And because of COVID, we did have a stretch of time where we weren't able to be as robust in our photos and updates and that kind of thing. And we're getting back into it. So there are things on the website that people can look at. But I just dropped in as you were talking, Jen, that's another place we can use the website. You know, I'm completely identified. I realize that I'm in the middle of that little me. I can't get out of it. You know, hop on the Africa website and just cruise through some of those blogs, reading about the project. I mean, what those folks are doing every single day and the joy that they bring to it is extraordinary. And certainly, I hope people will join us on Saturday and be part of that discussion, including a lot of us were shy. There were a lot of people on the call on Saturday, which was so great. It was so fun to be able to tell Teresa, oh my God, there's tons of people on this call. Not a lot of people put themselves in the queue, so I hope more people will this Saturday because I know Teresa would love to hear people's questions and comments and that sort of thing. So I thank you so much, Jen, for being with us today to talk about it, and I hope folks really will join us on Saturday.
Well, thank you for all that happens at the project. It's such a joy, and I cannot wait to be there on Saturday. So thank you.
Me too. Me too. All right. Well, thank you, Jen.
Go happy.
And I'll turn it back over to you and Michael, Jerry and Michael.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Jen. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And that was fabulous, Sherry.
It was. And I had exactly that experience of being on the call on Saturday. There's a blog coming out tomorrow. I was working today. And Jen and I had a conversation after the Saturday call. I said, you know, it just occurs to me, we've been there for 20 years now, and that there are a lot of people in the Sangha who weren't with us 20 years ago, don't know how this started, and that the project is so different now. And so wouldn't it be fun to bring some of the pictures up of the things that we talk about, but, you know, yes, it'd be wonderful. And I know there are people who go on the website and go back and read stuff, but a lot of people, you know, it's busy and there's hardly time to get through your own email, let alone go online and do something like that. And so wouldn't it be fun to just do a little retrospective? Is that what it's called? Where, you know, we'll just pick out some of our pictures,
yes,
that very things that have happened there, the changes that have happened. People can tune in there, and Jen's and Ashwini are putting that together now, and I guess Bob, I don't know who all is involved in the picture part of it, those will be in the blog tomorrow. And so if people don't have time to go to the website, you can still get a little view of then and now from the pictures that will be coming out. It's just, it's amazing, and Jen and Jen were just referring to, you know, that was the whole point of us getting involved there in the first place, is that we can get so in this country, and of course people around the world participate with us as well, but by and large we're all privileged. That's the one thing that we all share, and we can get so bogged down in first world problems, and so to be involved in something where the difference is so stark, and to realize, get a clear picture of exactly just how privileged we are, and then to be able to make a difference from that privilege in something that just, you know, just lights you up and warms your heart and lets you know that there is much more goodness in the world than not, and like that. So, good thing.
Yes, yes, that's fabulous. I'll look forward to getting those pictures. And the blogs are way back.
They'll be familiar to you because you've been watching this right from the very beginning.
Yes,
you are one of the people who read every blog. Yeah.
Yes, yes, fabulous. Can't wait. And plus, we've had those other historical postcards from the monastery and the Zen Center, so that's fun.
Yeah, boy. Reading about the last one, going back to the Sashines, the Thanksgiving Sashines, sitting in the dark with, oh my gosh, with the candles and the good times.
good times. Wow. And we have more good times right now because we
all
have
right.
another caller.
Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Art and Chrissy.
Hey, Art.
Hi, Art.
Hey. Hey, so I guess I'll talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're I'm in another transition, kind of a life transition, and I'm finding out that it's not so much about me, and and so it's just kind of a happy coincidence that you know we're at the Bodhi bead looking at karma, just because I'm in a great spot for, you know, changing, you know, habits and things like that.
Uh-huh. So your life is shifted around in such a way that you've got new openings, new possibilities, letting go
yeah.
of some old and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's for sure. So it you know, it has to do with my work day is sort of disappearing, at least, you know, being paid to do things and, you know, and commuting and things like that. That's pretty much done. And so just the work that I do have is just part-time and seasonal, and just, you know, and I can, you know, I have the great luxury that, you know, that I can afford to do it.
Yes. And I'm going to project what that opens up is an opportunity for you to participate in things just because you want to, rather than feeling like you need to because you're getting paid to.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, that's a whole thing. And I guess that, you know, ego jumps in and says, well, you know, I've been telling you what to do the whole time you've had your regular job. So why do we have to change anything?
Yeah, and the answer to that is because we can?
Yeah.
Because why not? Because there might be more to be had than we've been having?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, I'm just wanted to express my gratitude for, for everything, you know, And including, you know, just the year-long retreat and look, you know, looking at that stuff. And this is almost cue practice, you know, because I've got a good opportunity to, you know, to start practicing more regularly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, because when we talk about practice, you know, that's code for wake up and end suffering, right? And there are times in our lives when, or we maybe you could say we reach a time in our life where we realize that could move right on up the list of things that would be good to attend to sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and
thank
now,
you. I'll, so anyway, Gosho, go happy, and I don't know if Chrissy, if it's okay.
My situation. Hi, Sherry. It's Chrissy.
Hi, Chrissy.
Hi. And just to stay within our time, though, I'm the exact opposite. I'm still working, and I'm struggling to put pen to paper on a card. So I'm at the other end of the spectrum of wow.
Feel what kind of pushed or stressed or overworked or
My karma cards, like getting it right. I got to get it right. You know, I'm still, you know, where I'm like, I've listened to the readings a couple of times, and you know, so I'm just noticing my resistance to putting words to the karma that I am aware of in a lot of ways.
Just
Does it, is it that it'll make it too real, too in your face or something like that?
Yeah, and then there's also, yeah, maybe there's some of that. And some of it, I don't want to look at it again, maybe.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, no. You put it black and white and you're going to have to deal with it. So we kind of like to put that off just as long as possible.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if I have to deal myself a hand, you know, let's say you deal with a piece, you know, one day, then you got to put that card back, and the next day you might pull the same card again. Like, I don't know that I want to play that game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and of course, you know, with practice, the thing that sustains us is, I'm being with the human being that I have a chance to love unconditionally and save from suffering. So, you know, if this is the card that she needs 2 days in a row, well, heck, let's give it everything we've got.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for reframing that. That's lovely. Mm,
you're very yeah. Welcome. Anytime, Chrissy.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Right. Everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Chrissy and Art. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, it's Tracy.
Hey, Tracy, what's going on?
Oh, right now I'm laying in bed with a heating pad on my neck. I was unmuted last week on the week-long show and mentioned that I was going to call in because I wanted to talk about some karma, which is something I saw when I was with my family. And later that day, or actually the next day, I was coming back from an outpatient surgery, and a friend was driving me, and we hit a deer.
Oh.
And it was just a really traumatic thing the whole way around for the deer, for the kind of neck area, for the vehicle. Mm-hmm. And so I think I have like 32 karma cards that I have written in the last 3 days.
It's a productive time of taking care of the neck.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Spiritually, yep. Kind of rough on the body, but spiritually opening.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that, and I'll see if I'm sure they're somehow related, but I just want to share something that arose for me when I was with my family. And I had my birthday when I was at my mom's, and I was with my mom and my niece. We went out for brunch, and I asked both of them, you know, they were saying like, oh, you know, they sang Hank happy birthday. And afterwards I said to them both, like, what do you wish for me for this new year? And my niece, you know, said, oh, I wish you would, you know, do some travel, go somewhere really new. And then I looked to my mom, and she said, I want you to come help me in April. And then I want to do a trip with you. And then I want you to, so she gave me a list of like the things that she wanted me to do. And I said like, okay, mom, let me ask you again. Like, I hear that that's what you want me to do, but what's your wish for me? And she said, well, I just told you, I want you to come here in January. And so I asked her a third time. I said, I'm just going to ask this once more. Like, if you could wish anything for me, what would you wish for? And she said, I just want you to be happy.
Mm.
And so it felt so, what was the word? Like bittersweet.
Mm.
Bittersweet in the sense of, like, it felt like it spoke to so much karma of, like, I know when I came to practice, like, the first There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, like, I was so, like, it turned my life upside down because at that retreat, I was allowed to have my own experience, and I didn't have experience prior to that of, like, being okay to have my own experience. And so,
Tracy?
And, yeah?
As an example of that, can I say what my memory is of you coming to that first retreat?
Yes, please.
Yeah. That you were given that retreat by a partner who was convinced that you needed to be fixed and that he would give you this retreat so that you could go there and get fixed.
Exactly. Yeah. If there was something wrong with me, and if I could change it, then he would be okay.
Yeah. Kind of a big example of what you're describing. Yeah.
Exactly. And so it was interesting, and also really struck me that, you know, I've been really intentional about being with my family and practicing happiness. That, you know, as I, you know, attend to this being, like, I can bring happiness to whatever is being, you know, whatever is happening in the day. And so it was just, it felt like bittersweet in that, you know, seeing so much of how I'm orienting around, like, what other people want. And when I did this scheduling workshop a couple of months ago with Ashwini, I had this flash of the very first scheduling workshop I did, which I don't know if it was like 6, 7 years ago or 5 years ago. And I happened to be at my mom's during that retreat, and we were, you know, invited to look at areas that weren't on our schedule, like things that we, you know, really, you know, things that the heart wants to do that weren't happening. And I remember that workshop being so hard for me. And afterwards, I went out into the woods, and I remember sitting on a stump and crying and like thinking, like, I don't even know what I want to do. Like, I don't even know what that is. Like, how am I supposed to put that on the schedule? And it was this really big opening into, you know, definitely, you know, recording listening has been huge around deepening that inquiry, you know, not so much of what the little me wants to do, but what, you know, the heart and like that participatory, you know, how this person gets so much joy from participation.
And I want to go back for just a minute, just because otherwise I can't move on. You know how that is. So do you project that your mother thinks you're unhappy, or she wants you to be happy, but kind of the way she wants you to, or she wants you to be happy doing the things she wants you to do? What did you said bittersweet, but I wasn't clear about that.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. And I think I'm going to project here, but I think what she's speaking to is, you know, there's been often times when I've been around her where I go to that something wrong, not enough, like, ooh, I don't want this. And it's been a practice for me to, like, choose that, you know, that other place. So, for example, like, just give like an example of, you know, being with her and her, you know, talking negatively about other family members, and I will say something like, this doesn't feel good. Can we please talk about, you know, something different? I don't want to be part of this conversation. And, you know, when I say that, I don't feel like I'm happy. I just feel like I just need to take care of my heart. Or when I was in an exercise, one of her like water exercise classes, and she was, you know, started like talking about something that had nothing to do with at the moment. And I just said like, oh, can we please, you know, talk about this after, you know, this class. And so I feel almost like I'm a bit of a, I mean, I feel like I'm being kind, but,
uh-huh. but not
like
really
firm.
Yeah. And not pleasing to her. That would be a signal possibly that there's something wrong or there's,
yeah, versus like when she gets together with her girlfriends or some family members, they can just, you know, get in their conditioned worlds and just be right and talk about people and it feels good, you know, and I just don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah. So, got it.
That would be what I would suggest.
If that's her definition of happy, having a good time with people, then you are not a happy person.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so for her, it would be easy for me to project that the list she gave you was the things that would make her happy and that she would project would make you happy. So that's what she wants for you. She wants you to have the kind of life that would make you happy.
That makes her happy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly it. And I'm sure it's, you know, shows up in other places. I just want to say.
Oh, go ahead. Say it.
No, go ahead, because I'm going to change the subject if that's okay.
Well, just if we, you know, are mindful of.
Of time.
So the thing that. That it just made me think is that how difficult it would be to grow up in circumstances where somebody's idea of what it means to be happy, what is needed to be happy, the components of a happy life are not in alignment with one's nature. Then
right, like not in alignment with my nature.
That's right. And so who you are is then not mirrored. And so where are you going to look? Where are you going to look for role models for what it means then to have a happy life or choose a happy life? Or how does a person go about doing that? So I was just having sympathy for the person who was sitting out there crying about, well, I don't know what I want. Because, it can be very, very difficult to discern that. When it's not mirrored anywhere in our surroundings.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Yep. And I want to give another person a chance to speak, so I'm hesitant to say this other thing, so maybe I'll just hit pause and call in again.
On another topic.
Well, it's tied in, but it would take a few more minutes, and it would be nice to give another caller a chance.
All right. Well, as long as we get to talk again before long.
I hope so. I'm going to keep – I'm staying super close, Sherry. It is such a rich time right now.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. And do take care of yourself because, oof.
Yeah.
These kinds of traumatic situations really do tend to be opening. So lots of stuff coming through.
There's a lot of stuff coming through. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for modeling love.
Pleasure.
Oh, bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. And Sherry, I'm going to bring on the next caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, it's Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Sherry. Well, I think my problems have been solved through this radio show today.
Well, say more.
Well, So the suffering happens when the attention is on a conversation in the head, and well-being happens when you direct your attention to here, now, presence. And this call is just such a, as always, such a wonderful example of that and such a support to do that. And so the funny thing was, I thought I put myself in the queue at the beginning, but I did the star six, but I missed the one part. And so the beauty of that is there was no, I thought I might get called anytime, so I was really paying attention. And so I just got to hear all these lovely things people are sharing and bring my attention to it. The Africa Project, I am at work and my desk has this picture of these joyful children in Cantalomba welcoming us when I had the privilege to go in 2017, just hands open, smiles, joy. And they're, you know, they don't seem confused about, you know, what's
what else are they? Their attention is not split.
Their attention doesn't seem split. And so, so what I noticed is I've been slowly, maybe not slowly, but seemingly slowly falling off in the imaginary world. And I just wanted to reach out for some help because I'm getting lots of prompts internally that you're not here. It seems like trying to decipher being told I'm not here versus just simply being aware. But, you know, I think it's like I'm doing fine. You know, I feel good. I've got a lot of things to be grateful for. I'm not showing up to practice like I would normally. I don't have the enthusiasm. It just kind of feels like, yeah, good, but I'm not lit up. And that's always a signal for me that I'm not here, because that is what it's like to be here, is to be lit up. Just more easily irritated. And I think one of the things I keep noticing is there'll be an awareness of something. Like, I'm in a lot of meetings for my job, and there'll be an awareness of that communication wasn't clear, or the system, there's some dysfunction. And it gets turned into like a rant about other people and why can't we learn to communicate, you know? And so that's what seems to happen a lot. There's an awareness of something, and then immediately ego takes it over into something wrong with them or something wrong with me. And I miss out on the beauty of the original awareness, and I miss out on being available to let life live through me in those situations. And I don't know, it's weird, but it's sort of heartbreaking in a way. It feels disappointing go ahead.
Well, the good news is it definitely is a wake up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, truly. Because as you say, you're lit up. It's great. You're here. You're just love. Just love. And then ego begins to slide in a little, just slip in a little, and it's fine. You're fine, right? Life is good.
Right.
You're fine. And then it slips a little farther, and you realize, I'm really grouchy. I'm kind of irritable. Oh, my God, I'm in rant. Okay, all right. I'm not fine. That's really helpful.
It is really helpful. And then I've been in that place before, you know, and for the grace of life, like I have practice. Like I can recognize that. And then I know how to support myself to bring the attention back here. But what I noticed is it seems like it's in that condition process. Like when we do the battering cycle, it's in that, I'm going to be perfect. Because every time it seems like I try to get back on track, my wheels are spinning, and then there's something like this. I'll show up, okay, I got it, I'm clear again, and then this call will end, and I'll walk out the door, and I'm back in the story. And so I know that if I could, at least my experience is, if I can put some support and show up to them regularly, and if I could even do that for like 3 or 4 days, I can usually, okay, now I'm disidentified enough that I'm not going to be pulled every 5 minutes. But I can't seem to pull that together. So I'm just wandering around.
I haven't.
Yet.
That's right. Yes. And so, right. But so this can be the awareness. No, we're not talking about being perfect. What we're talking about
is getting back on the horse. And so what do I need to do to do that? No expectation that, you know, in 3 months or 6 months or a year or whatever, you're not going to be in the same place. Okay, well,
right.
if that happens, that
right.
happens. No yeah. hard feelings. But right now, I need to set that before I walk out the door. As soon as this call is over, I need to set this up so that I have something
yeah.
every day that I show up for that's going to remind me
yeah.
Who I am. It's just what
yeah.
I need to do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's what I want to do.
Exactly. And, you know, mm-hmm. Scott, it doesn't make you unusual. It's
no.
what we need to do, right?
Yeah.
And when we want to do it, then we do it joyfully.
That's
and
right.
when we don't, then we do it because we need to. But in any case, mm-hmm. whatever gets us mm-hmm. to show up for the mm-hmm. human being, great. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I need some inspiration, I'll just look at this picture on my desk of these
That's exactly.
inspired folks in
That's exactly. For the reason that you said, right, I think we said it slightly different ways, but I'll go with mine. Their attention
yeah.
is not divided.
They're
yeah. not. They're not looking at you and thinking about something else. And
right.
that's the magic we feel from those kids, right? And that's
mm-hmm.
the magic
mm-hmm.
we recognize in ourselves when we're there. So it's
mm-hmm.
you being where you are and not thinking about something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because the devil lives in the thinking.
Yes, certainly is.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, thank
right.
you, Sherry.
Well, I'm glad you remembered that one just in time.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. Okay, bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Scott. And I think you said, Sherry, that thinking is not helpful, and that is totally my experience.
It is the devil, isn't it? It's hateful.
Yes.
It's awful, and it's unnecessary. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And we're
well, thank
at the top of the hour. Yes. And
yeah,
thank you, Sherry.
Take good
and
care of
yourself.
Everyone. Thanks,
everyone.
You
too.
Go happy.
Go happy.